I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Sorry to have been a few minutes running behind.
That's no problem.
Let's just go ahead and jump into this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Your books seem to be getting progressively darker. I'm sure I'm not the first person to notice this. But how do you sort of talk about this trend? Does it coincide with anything going on in your life or with a change in your outlook on life? I guess my question really is, does the tone of the book reflect a current tone in your life, or is it more about the different periods you're writing about?
No, it's really more about the different periods that the books are about. I mean, Wolf is definitely my darkest book. I hadn't really been aware that possible side effects in magical thinking were especially dark. But Wolf is definitely, it's a more brutal book. And that's because, during in the other memoirs, Running with Scissors and Dry, I was funny. And, funny for me was sort of a life raft. It was the way that I was able to cope with what would have been really catastrophic stress and upheaval in my life. But I didn't have that sort of defense mechanism developed at the age during which Wolf takes place. So I'm just inherently more vulnerable and more earnest in Wolf, and that's why it's more brutal.
I see. So you're saying you hadn't even sort of developed this sense of humor as a coping mechanism during the period that Wolf was happening.
Yeah, that's really exactly it. I mean, I had a sense of humor as a kid, but it was really when I was an early adolescent, during Running with Scissors, where I had to focus on what was absurd and ludicrous in a situation, or it was just overwhelming. It was, catastrophically overwhelming. I wouldn't have survived that kind of childhood.
Right, and so I'm wondering, the experience of just writing the books had to be very different, though. I'm sure, I guess, writing Wolf probably took you to a much darker place, clearly, than writing Running with Scissors or certainly Dry would have.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. It was pretty harrowing and something I would not want to repeat in the near future, that's for sure. It was a very physical experience. I mean, just sort of the physical stress. I wrote it, all day, every day for a long, 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 long time, for a couple of years. And it was, my body just sort of reacted to that, I think, that darkness with all the emotions, you'd expect. I mean, I was just living sort of with this depression and fear and intensity that I haven't really experienced before.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the result is a more mature sort of product? And do you think that is just sort of a function of it being your next book, or is it because of the subject matter?
Probably. I mean, it's a more disciplined book,
mm-hmm.
In some respects. And that probably translates to maturity. I mean, mm-hmm. at this point I've written this, my sixth book, I think the actual writing process is easier, even if I'm writing about subject matter, which is not easier.
Mm-hmm.
My confidence, I think, is higher. Again, even if I'm tackling some terrain that's really, really rocky and difficult. I didn't sort of have questions about what to include and what not to include. I mean, I had originally written Running with Scissors with some of my father in that book.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean I started Running with Scissors chronologically much earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But that just opened up a Pandora's box because my father was, it was too much of a story to tell in a chapter or two.
And so this kind of process where you would just sit down and write for hours and hours a day, every day, was that a departure for you, or is that how you wrote the other books as well?
No, that's pretty much how I write the other books as well.
Mm-hmm.
This took longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was relentless. I mean, the last two books have been collections of essays, and I don't write those in order. Often I have the base of the essay already written from, in some cases, years before, from when the event I'm writing about happened.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but often. And if I'm not in the mood that day to think about X topic, I can work on another essay. So there's a lot of relief built in and comfort built into the format of the essay.
Right.
The collection.
How long does it typically take you to write a book, and sort of, you know, and where do you write them? I'm kind of trying to get an idea, I guess, of your creative process. Do you go through this sort of period of just pure obsession where all you can think about is what you're going to write the next day and constantly writing notes, or what's it like for you during the time when you're actually writing?
You know, it really is pretty obsessive. It's kind of when I'm working, you know, on a book, it's pretty all or nothing. I mean, that becomes my world. And I write pretty fast, at least the first draft. And it takes about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I spend, and then after that, it's just draft after draft, you know, revising it and making it
right.
Tighter. Cutting. It's mostly cutting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can I lose and still have and maintain the integrity of the essay or the piece or the book or the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this one took longer.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've noticed sort of different about this book is the audiobook component to it and the
right.
fact that you got to collaborate with some recording artists musically. What was that collaboration like, and to what degree did you get to have input in the songs that they, and I understand that they actually created the songs based on their sort of reaction to the memoir. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I knew I wanted the audiobook. I knew it had to be different because, for one thing, my voice, I'm writing about people I've written about before, my father, my mother,
mm-hmm.
and I've done all my audiobooks except for Cellevision, so I was concerned, I didn't want listeners to hear my voice and associate it with humor, you know, and associate it with, and wait for the sort of the joke to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I would have to read it in a lower register, and I knew that I would have to, it would have to be a much slower read, more careful.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew that I wanted this book to have a musical element, like a film score, because, you know, music, I just wanted to heighten the intensity of the book with
right.
music. I, my feeling was that audiobooks are boring. It's an author reading in a studio for 8 hours with tacky stock music up front, and I just mm-hmm. couldn't understand why there hasn't been any kind of innovation in audio since a celebrity voiceover, which, you know, has been going on forever. It just seems like audiobooks are dusty, and no one thinks about them. No one, you know, people read them, and people listen to them. And they're convenient, but they're very, very, they're very functional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they serve a real function, but they're not terribly emotional beyond the author's words.
Right. It's mostly.
And I wanted this to be more of an audiobook for the iPod generation, people
mm-hmm.
who are used to stimulation, people who are used to music. So anyway, I decided I would score it like a film and then do a sound design, and then I wondered, you know, if maybe if I contacted some of my favorite musicians, if they might, by any. You know, long shot, be willing to read the book, and if they responded to it, write me an original song and then perform it. And, you know, they did. It was great.
They jumped at the chance?
Yeah, it was terrific. So these four artists went away, you know, they read the book, and their response to the book was the song that they wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really, really great. I had no idea what to expect. I mean, one day I would open my email, and there would be the track.
Mm-hmm.
And each time it was just incredibly overwhelming and intense, and each time I was really happy. You know,
right.
I loved what I heard. You know, any musician could have just cranked something out,
uh-huh.
you know, but none of them did. I mean, they gave me, you know, real artwork, and it was just, it was amazing. They were gifts. They felt like gifts.
I bet. Which kind of leads a little bit into my next question. I'm wondering what it is like for you as you sort of mature in this process in terms of getting famous. I mean, you know, you're becoming more and more famous to the point where you're able to pick up the phone and, you know, talk to people like Patti Smith and ask them to collaborate with you. In terms of getting recognized on the street, I wonder, are you beginning to experience that kind of fame? And what does that mean to you, and how's it changing your life?
I mean, I think the more high profile I get, certainly the more opportunities are presented that wouldn't have otherwise occurred, which is nice, you know, in terms of what other projects I might want to do and offers and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
obviously that's, you know, a real privilege. But the day-to-day stuff, being recognized on the street, I mean, that's been happening for a while. That kind of started with Running with Scissors
mm-hmm.
and then just never stopped. And yeah, well, I mean, it gets, you know, bigger with each book, but it's almost like I have two lives. You know, there's a sort of a public life when I'm running around and you know, on a book tour or whatever, going out to restaurants mm-hmm. where I get recognized, and I become aware of that side of my life. But you know, for the most part, I'm home. You know,
right?
I just don't go out. I'm not famous at home. You know, uh-huh. So it's not something. You know, that kind of fame. First of all, literary fame is different than movie star fame.
Sure.
So I don't have to worry about, like, you know, paparazzi and that kind of stuff, which I would really hate. I would really, really hate it. I would move to a different country if that kind of stuff ever happened.
Uh-huh.
So I'm able to, you know, just pretty much live the same way I always have. And, you know, fame is something that you don't see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Other people see it.
Hmm.
But, you know, you don't look in the mirror and see fame. You just see what you've always seen.
Right.
So, and I think, you know, too, that I was, you know, older. I was out of my 20s when this stuff happened. And, I mean, I knew exactly. I was very stable. And my personality was developed. Mm-hmm. And my confidence and my sense of self
uh-huh.
was there. And it was not dependent on, you know, career and fame, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on that. So I think I'm able to keep it in perspective.
Do you credit that stability and that sort of centeredness and development as a person to your struggle with drugs and alcohol and sort of going through that and coming through it?
Not that exclusively, but certainly that was part of it. I think mm-hmm. it's just, I mean, I feel like I've lived many different lives, and a lot of them have been really challenging. You know, I've gone through a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I've lost a lot, and I think that's just... it's created this sort of triage,
mm-hmm.
psychological triage within me, where things that don't matter don't matter to me,
right?
And things that do matter do.
I want to ask you, I think your genre is also experiencing a little more, perhaps, attention and notoriety than I guess there are periods where it has also, but I think in the wake of with James Frey and all that kind of stuff, the memoir in general, I think it seems to be under a little more scrutiny. Have you had to change the way you write, or do you feel any more defensive, you know, about your work?
No, I haven't changed the way I write at all. And I won't change the way I write. I mean, it would be easier for me to, you know, obviously to immediately turn around and write a novel or to call The Wolf at the Table fiction, but I'm not going to be bullied into doing something that I'm not ready to do. You know, the sort of fake memoirs that have come out, you know, it's sad because it cheapens and sort of degrades the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a genre I really support and believe in. I mean, I think it really serves a real function
mm-hmm.
of connecting people to each other. You know, when you read a memoir that perfectly captures what you yourself have felt but never been able to articulate or maybe even never recognize within yourself, it makes you feel instantly connected to a broader humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, I mean, you know, it's gonna be one of those things where I'm gonna always be asked about the veracity of my memoirs and how can I remember such and such from so long ago, and those questions probably won't go away.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll probably trail me for years, and it's just, you know, you just plow forward, and I just do the best I can. I mean, I don't make things up in my books. I don't write about serving in the war if I haven't served in the war.
Right, right.
And I welcome the scrutiny. You know, mm-hmm. It's become part of the genre now.
Right. So what's next for you, Augustine? Do you think you'll have the opportunity to make a movie out of this? Do you think if you did, you would want to? And would you try to do that before you start writing another book? Or do you have another book in mind already?
Yeah, I actually, this was optioned before I wrote it. From Universal Pictures optioned it. So,
oh, great.
One thing I'm thinking of doing is directing Dry myself.
Mm.
So I've never optioned it because I've always thought, you know, that it would be easy to mess up
mm-hmm.
and be very cliche. So I may end up doing. I've been thinking lately that I may end up doing that myself.
So who's going to play Greer?
Sorry?
Who's going to play Greer?
See, I haven't even gotten that far yet. I'm more thinking of the technical details of how I would get the shots that I mm-hmm. see in the film for very, very, very little money.
Right,
but
right.
But my experience in advertising is tremendously useful
sure.
in this case because I've shot probably hundreds of millions of dollars worth of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So, of all budgets, Mm-hmm. So even though I've never directed anything, I've worked with dozens, literally dozens of directors, and I understand how technical and how, you know, it's not just a matter of sitting there with a bullhorn shouting action,
right?
You know, and hoping you get great performances. It's very, very technical.
Yeah.
So I think I'd be really good at it.
Cool.
So that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about. And I'm working on other projects. I'm working on a novel. I love fiction. You know, my first book was fiction, and I've written two other novels. I've never published them. I never will.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I get an idea, I just kind of, I can't let go of it. I mean, it takes over, so exciting.
Will your next book be funny?
Yeah.
You think you'll go back to maybe what your readers sort of expect, you know, or love you for?
Yeah, it'll be more. I think probably. Well, it won't be what they expect.
Okay.
But it won't be down a dark road like this. Although I have to say, you know, critically, it's been very mixed.
Mm-hmm.
When I've read the reviews, it seems people love it or they hate it.
Right.
With very little in between.
Interesting.
But readers have, the feedback I've had, they've loved it.
Uh huh.
You know, and that's been good. I mean, I'm sure some of them have hated it, but I just haven't heard that feedback yet. People don't tell me that when they're facing me at a table.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Well, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
I really, really appreciate you talking with us, and wish you best of luck.
Thank you very much. It's been great.
Likewise. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.